Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
It's a Donnie Football Friday here on the Starkey Show, the Joe Show. I don't know, I'm reluctant sometimes to say that, Donnie, out loud. It's just the show. I don't like saying my own name out loud, but there it is. It's the Joe Show with Donnie Football today. We're talking a lot of Cowboys Steelers. Iconic matchup. The brands, the legacies, the history. I don't know that you could put two teams in the NFL together for a matchup that would have more of that than this one. And here to talk about that game and several others from the NFL this weekend, our friend, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. You can see him right on the screen. Look, Donnie, he's right there between us there. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I think Steelers fans obviously hoping that this is more Super Bowl 10 and Super Bowl 13 than Super Bowl 30 for the game on Sunday night against the Cowboys.
Man, I'll say. And I don't know. I like the Steelers' chances not only to win, but win big. But who am I, Nick? People want to hear from you. You're the host of You Better You Bet. As I mentioned, you're an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Interesting game, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is, especially with the injury stuff on both sides. And Joe, like, you could certainly make the case for the Steelers winning. I don't know if the Steelers are going to win big in this game, though, against the Dallas Cowboys. I know Dallas has got multiple injuries with their pass rushers. DeMarcus Lawrence is on IR. Micah Parsons dealing with a high ankle sprain. But on the flip side here, I guess my concern with the Steelers in a game where they're expected to win the game, like, and we'll see what the point spread closes at, but currently a 2.5-point favorite, my concern is with Arthur Smith. Last week's loss to the Indianapolis Colts, in my opinion, and curious if you guys agree, To me, that loss is on Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin and the game planning on offense, where once they took the training wheels off Justin Fields, once they fall behind in the game, I thought Fields looked great. By the way, Our guy George Pickens went over his receiving yards prop. We gave that out on the show last Friday.
Yes, he did.
That was an easy no-sweat winner. Also, like, we'll bet it again this week, and we'll win again this week because his price is still ridiculous in the betting market for George Pickens. But I thought Fields played really well once they took the training wheels off, and why don't they just do that the whole game? I don't think they're ever going to do that. It's not what Mike Tomlin wants. It's certainly not what Arthur Smith wants. So I think this is kind of shaping up to be a lower scoring, really tight game. When we talk about totals, guys, betting totals in the NFL, there are a couple key numbers, similar to like 3 and 7 being key numbers with point spreads. And I'll be really quick. You don't have to be a math major to understand this. I'm going to tell you what they are. 41, 44, 47 are the three numbers in the 40s. So right now, the total of the game is 44 with Dallas and Pittsburgh, which provides an inflection point. Do you think this is a game a little bit on the higher scoring side or the lower scoring side? I think we're probably looking at a 2017 final either way. I like the under in the game, under 44 coming up on Sunday with Pittsburgh and Dallas.
How do you feel about the Najee Harris rushing prop after his poor performance last week on the ground? But Dallas, of course, missing two of its best defenders, and that defense has been pretty suspect anyway.
So I'm gonna see what the number is for Najee. Yeah, it's not posted yet, and that's because like we don't know like for sure about Jaylen Warren, and we don't know for sure obviously about Cordarrelle Patterson. My sense is going to be like, and I don't think we have an injury report for today yet, right? For the Steelers, I actually looked minutes ago. I didn't see one. So right now we feel like you guys are more connected than I am. Probably not going to have Patterson and Warren would be my guess, and we'll see what the Friday report looks like. But let's assume that's the case. The Steelers' fourth running back on the depth chart is Aaron Shamplin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pretend to know who that is. Maybe we'll bet his anytime touchdown if Warren and Patterson don't play. But I think it's going to be the Najee Harris show on Sunday in the backfield. And Najee's rushing yards prop is usually high 40s, low 50s, with the thought process being he's going to split work with whoever the other running back is, right? Usually Jaylen Warren. Last week it was Cordarrelle Patterson. If it's going to, both those guys are going to be out, I think you might get like 80% Najee Harris in this game. So, Donnie, without knowing what his yardage prop is going to be, I think he could get 70, 80 rushing yards in this game. So, again, without seeing it, I would like the over. But just to be clear, the bet that I do like here for the Steelers, George Pickens over 54.5 receiving yards, I feel like is an absolute smash.
Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Nick, I don't know if you're into the odds on these types of things, but the big story around here this week is Devontae Adams. And I'm curious to hear from you who has the best odds to get him and what are the Steelers' odds like?
Yeah, so this is all my opinion, and if there are betting markets like this, just so people know, it's interesting conversation. This is like when Kevin Durant, before he signed with the Warriors, and there was a betting market, like, where will Kevin Durant sign? And someone bet $100, I know this for a fact, someone bet $100 on Kevin Durant to go to the Knicks, and the Knicks became the favorite, and everyone flipped out like, oh my God, he's going to the Knicks. Like, you can't bet a lot of money into these markets. They're fun to talk about. They mean nothing. So if anyone sees this and it's like, whoa, the Steelers are the favorite, it does not mean that they will or won't get Devontae Adams. So I'm going to give you my opinion here. And it's a pretty educated opinion. I don't think Devontae Adams is coming to the Steelers. Now, I believe they're interested. And it kind of tracks, right? They were interested in Brandon Ayuk prior to the season starting. So it makes sense that they would like to go out and get like a complimentary wide receiver to George Pickens. Adams being the type of mercurial guy that he is, who has his contract already. Remember, Ayuk didn't have a contract. Devontae, the quarterback matters to him. That's why he wanted to go to Vegas to play with Derek Carr. That's why we've heard about the Saints being an option, the Jets being an option with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not trying to like, I guess I am trying to disrespect them. Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Does anyone really think Devontae Adams wants to go and catch passes from like Justin Fields and Russell Wilson if he has the choice to play with Aaron Rodgers and to be like Arthur Smith is probably like sexually fantasizing about using Devontae Adams as a decoy to get the ball to Van Jefferson. Like, we know how Arthur Smith likes to coordinate his offense, right? So I would make the Jets the clear favorite here. Human nature comes into play, right? And I'll be very quick about this. The Jets GM and coach are both going to get fired if they don't win big this year. You think they care about the next regime not having draft picks to use moving forward? Definitely not. I think they are the clear favorite in my mind to get Devontae Adams. So I do not think he will come to Pittsburgh.
Nick, how about some of the other games around the AFC North? We finally get an AFC North clash on Sunday, Baltimore and Cincinnati. I'm seeing the Ravens as a 2.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, I like the Bengals in the game. I think the Bengals will be able to win the game. I like the Bengals on the money line. I like the Bengals as a teaser leg. I actually teased them with Tampa Bay last night. And if you wanted to, and like, I don't know if Steelers fans will want to do this, but you could do a 2-team 6-point teaser, go through 3-7 with Cincinnati and Dallas, and like Dallas plus 8.5. If you think the game is going to be close and Pittsburgh like can't win the game by 10 or more, which is possible. I think it's unlikely. So I like that teaser leg. Also lean towards, Donnie, the over in the game. This opened 51.5 and has been bet down to 49.5. And I think the thought process there, Cincinnati's getting a couple guys back on defense that had missed, you know, that are activated off the PUP list, who will, like Miles Murphy is one of them. Like, Cincinnati's defense is going to be healthier. And Baltimore runs for 200 yards every game, which bleeds clock. I think Baltimore's going to have a lot of success running, and I think Cincy's going to have a lot of success throwing. Give me the Bengals to win the game, and I like to go over the total as well, over 49.5.
Nick, one game that has interest for me, I'm not really sure why, but it's Jacksonville at home against Indy, and I guess I'm looking real close at Doug Peterson right now. Is he the favorite to be the first coach fired, and what about this game? I thought they would be good this year.
Yeah, well, you have your eye on Doug Peterson. Don't get used to it, because I don't know how much longer he's going to be the head coach of the team for. Definitely. I mean, it's a miracle that he survived the Buffalo game on Monday night in week 3, losing 47-10. And then, like, you know, a good effort by Jacksonville last week, losing to Houston, but losing at the very end of the game. So you get the feeling that if things go really poorly on Sunday, like, Doug Peterson's going to get fired, and Ryan Nielsen, the defensive coordinator, would be named the next head coach of the Jaguars, and the interim coach moving forward for the rest of this season. So I can tell you, Joe, just with what bettors are going to do here, there is, regardless of who plays quarterback for the Colts, we think it's going to be Anthony Richardson. He practiced yesterday, Thursday, limited fashion, but with pads. And whether it's Richardson or whether it's Flacco, I think the Jaguars are going to get bet. Jacksonville's 0-4. This is like the must-win game. They're at home here. They're not on the road at the Texans. I think this game is going to close Jacksonville -3. And if and when we get there, I would like to play against the Jaguars, and I would take the points with the Indianapolis Colts, regardless of who the quarterback is. With the thought process being this, I thought they'd be good too. Trevor Lawrence looks broken. His footwork's all screwed up. You don't have to be a quarterback or film grinder to see that. He misses wide open throws every week. Missed 2 touchdowns last week, 1 to Christian Kirk, 1 to Brian Thomas Jr. I would only bet the Colts in the game, but I would need a full +3 to make the bet.
How about some early morning football? We have our first international game of the first London game of 2024. They did have that Brazil game earlier this season. It is the We Had Brett Favre for 1 Year Bowl in London, the Jets and the Vikings. Does Minnesota stay undefeated here?
Yeah, nah, it went better for the Vikings, went to the NFC Championship game than it did for the Jets, who missed the playoffs with Eric Mangini that year. I hate to say this, like, I actually really do. I actually, like, makes me physically ill. I like the Jets a little bit in the game. And I probably shouldn't, honestly. This is like, you know, Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings coaching staff. This is like Deep Blue and like Bobby Fischer playing me in chess with like Robert Saleh on the other sideline, who's terrible. He's brutal. At some point, I guess this doesn't have to be true. I guess it could never happen. At some point, you're going to get a complete effort from the Jets. Now, last week, give Denver a lot of credit, right? The Denver defense limited the Jets to 9 points scored in the game, blitzed the hell out of Aaron Rodgers, put Rodgers on his ass a number of times in the game. I can't imagine that this is going to happen again the next week with the Hall of Fame quarterback. Brian Flores is going to blitz the you-know-what out of Aaron Rodgers, and I think they'll be better prepared for it this week. Get the ball out quick, get it to Garrett Wilson and company. I will begrudgingly take the points with the New York Jets. Not one of my favorite bets of the week, but I will begrudgingly take the Jets.
Lastly, Nick, the Chiefs trying to become probably the greatest dynasty in the Super Bowl era. I mean, if they win 3 in a row, and it would be, I think, 3 out of 5, how strong of a favorite are they still in the AFC despite their injury issues? And who's second? Who's the second biggest favorite in the AFC right now?
Well, this it would be 4 of 6, right? And that's what the Steelers did in the 70s.
4 of 6.
73, right, 74, right. 78, and 79. Yeah, so like, yeah, they would, it's been pretty good. And the only team to three-peat if they got there. I still think that they're going to get there when it's all said and done, because it's still Mahomes and it's still Reed. And most importantly, like, the Chiefs' defense is unbelievable. Now, I don't know if Mahomes can win MVP this year. Even if the Chiefs go like 14-3 and are the one seed, I don't think he's going to have the stats to get there. I think people should expect, and if you play fantasy football, I think there are a lot of better options to start moving forward to quarterback. And Mahomes is the best player, but is he going to have the best stats? Remember, Rashee Rice is probably going to be out for the season. Not official yet. He's on IR, going to miss at least 4 games. Hollywood Brown's done for the season. We don't know when Isaiah Pacheco is going to be back. It's a 3-wide receiver set of Xavier Worthy, the rookie, who runs really fast, and that's it. Justin Watson, who's just a guy, and Juju Smith-Schuster, who the Patriots cut before the season. Like, does anyone think this is sustainable for them to score a ton of points here? So I don't think you can count the Chiefs out as being the favorite in the AFC. Make me pick a second team. The easy answer, I think, is the Texans with the theoretical upside. I still think the Jets can put it all together, especially if they get Devontae Adams to be able to make a run. I'm going to bet the Saints on Monday night, guys. Not to win the game, but to cover the spread. I've got issues laying a lot of points with Kansas City when I don't think they're going to be able to score a ton of points now on a week-in, week-out basis, which is not an insult to Mahomes. He's great. He's just not working with a lot right now.
Nick, great stuff. As always, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And Pirates are in the National League. Maybe you guys can root for my New York Yankees here coming up in the American.
How about the Mets last night, Nick?
I bet the Mets last night. I'm not a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan, but I have lots, like, my father-in-law is a huge Mets fan. My brother-in-law, you grew up in New York, like, there are lots of Mets fans, right? Very happy for the Mets fans last night. That's storybook, man.
Oh.
And Alonso was getting run out of town.
Yes.
Locally. Like, he grounds in. So, you know, I'll be really quick here. Yankees Angels 2005. Yankees lose the series in 5, and Francisco Rodriguez gets the final out. Jeter singles in the top of the 9th. A-Rod immediately grounds into a double play, and it's like season's over. I thought Alonso was going to step up there last night, ground into a double play, season over for the Mets. Instead, 3-run homer. Like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, I'm not even a Mets fan. That was electric. I do think Mets kind of have a team of destiny vibe. I think the Mets are going to beat the Phillies, and I bet the Mets to beat the Phillies.
Wow.
In the next round.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. That guy's a miracle worker. He may have gone overboard at one point, Donnie, but he's a miracle worker, isn't he?
He's great. I mean, you ask him about any game, and he's throwing stuff all over the place.
Did you watch the Mets game last night? Were you watching it live?
So I had the football game on, which is on Prime, so it's not like I could pull it up on regular TV. We have YouTube TV, which is kind of nice when there's two big events at the same time. It'll give you a split-screen option.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. It was right around halftime. I was keeping track of that baseball game. I said, I'm going to throw this on because they're going into the 9th inning. So I see the comeback, and then I see the Mets finish it off during halftime. That was pretty cool. I mean, I was following on my phone, like, what was happening.
Yes. I tuned in literally in the 9th inning. I'm like, what is going on? I wanted to see, you know, you like to see the game-ending celebration. And Pete Alonso steps to the plate, and there are some great calls out there, and it's an all-time baseball moment. You're down 2-0. You hit a 3-run homer with, I think, 1 out in the 9th inning. And down go the Brewers again. And I couldn't help but think of how dramatic that sport can be in the postseason and how much I miss the Pirates being involved. And then you juxtapose that, and I know it's a football Friday, but we both agreed it's a pretty big story that Terry Francona went to the Reds. John Parotta was on with us a month ago saying Francona would absolutely be open to coming here. I think you create a ton of excitement if you bring a Pittsburgh guy who's won a World Series and won with Cleveland, yep. By the way, not the World Series, but won.
He won.
I mean, he won in Cleveland. I think you get a whole new start out of that, you know, rebranding. Here we go with Terry Francona. And instead a division rival gets him to do that with, That was a gut punch, I think, for Pirate fans. Do you agree?
I hate it, man. I hate it. Because that was a name that we threw around a month ago, you know, myself, Pony, and Chris. And, of course, people are like, what are you thinking? Francona's done. He's not going to ever manage again. This, that. Why are you even bringing his name up?
Right.
And I told the guys, I said, if that dude had interest in managing the Pirates, I would walk to his house.
Which wouldn't be far.
I would let him hop on my back, and I would walk all the way to PNC Park and sit him down in the front office. That is what I would do if it meant Tito Francona would be the Pirates manager.
Right. And Parado's a Beaver County guy. He's known Terry Francona for decades. So when he came on and said that, that was an educated opinion from Parado. And all this current regime has done is lose. And I understand they had to tear down the franchise. I get it. It was a tank job. I don't mind those. Sometimes those are preferable to being stuck in the middle. I was on board. But now 2 years in, I think the clock started ticking on Shelty at the beginning of last season. That's when the tank job ended and they were trying to win. And okay, last season, 10 games under. This season, you don't take a step forward. So you look at a block of time here where all they've done is lose. What better time with the young talent, at least some of it, Skeens pitching talent, for next season to just rebrand, it's time to win. It's time to win, and here comes a guy who's done it. He's done it in the big market, won a World Series. He ended a curse. The Pirates have had curses, their curses since 79 now, and he's done it in a smaller market in Cleveland. This was a match made in heaven, and they didn't do it.
And it was also right in their backyard. And think about this, too, with how many personnel decisions, whether it's front office or on the field, one of the first things people think about is, what will Paul Skeens think about this? You know, the rowdy stuff. What will Paul Skeens think about this? Like, he's that important of a figure in Pirates baseball right now. I could tell you this, if they make the decision to move on from Derek Shelton, they pick up that phone, they call Tito and say, hey, you want to just drive down the road here and manage here, and they bring him in, I think that does a whole hell of a lot. You're bringing in a guy who is great for the clubhouse. He has been known to be really like a good vibes guy, but also a no-nonsense guy, someone that demands respect.
Yes.
And I think that would go a long way for somebody like Paul Skeens.
I think this is, I'll describe it again, a gut punch for Pirate fans. Not just that, like if we saw today that Terry Francona went to, you know, manage Arizona, you'd still be like, yeah, that sucks. He could have come here. He went to Cincinnati, which if you were going to go across baseball and pick a team that's in a phase of their existence right now, like the Pirates, it's the Reds. Underachieving in the midst of a rebuild with some really tantalizing young talent, but just couldn't get there with their manager who had been there for a while. Does that sound familiar? Their best player even has Cruz as the part of his last name, like their most promising player, just like here. It's unbelievable how similar these franchises are. Their rivalry goes back decades and decades. They're in the same division, and they got the Pittsburgh guy who's tailor-made for this job? I don't know, man. You mentioned it this morning, Donnie. I think people will respond to this. And, you know, the rest of the show is going to be football. We're going to get back into predictions. We're going to get back into Steeler-Cowboy history for sure. But we'll definitely take calls on this because this is a spark it up type of topic at 412-928-9370. This week did feature Ben Charrington endorsing Shelty, going so far as to say ownership endorses Shelty. I would like to know when he heard from ownership that Shelton's coming back. Like he mentioned, yeah, ownership's on board with this. Well, when did they say that? Just out of curiosity. So it's been a gigantic week, really, for the Pirates, for all like bad vibe reasons, I think, if I were to judge from the fan base.
Yeah, I mean, we and the guys had Jason Mackey on yesterday, who was at that press conference the other day, and I thought he gave a sentence, but I thought it pretty much encapsulated the whole thing. It was like, they are okay with mediocrity at best, and Bob Nutting has signed off on it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're going with what you're going forward with, that's the only signal you are giving us as people who either cover or are fans of the team.
The only example, really, in all of sports that I can think of, and it's unbelievable that it would be this guy, of someone who has lost for as long as Shelton has, to the degree that he's lost, and stayed in the same place for a sixth year. Nobody makes it that long losing like this. You make it one, two, three. We're talking four, five, six. I went back and looked at John McKay with the Buccaneers, but that was an expansion team, and he did win eventually. The only guy, I think, in all of sports who stayed in one place losing like this and lived to tell about it was Clint Hurdle in Colorado. How about that?
And he capped it off in a pretty big way.
He did.
I mean, his team got to the World Series. They got swept when they got there, but they got to the World Series.
Yes.
They had one of the best Septembers in baseball history. I think they were like eight games out on September 1st.
He lost for 5 or 6 years in a row there. Just kept losing and losing and losing, and they kept him for that next year, and they had that amazing September. They went to the World Series. He lost for 5 years in a row. He was never within 10 games of 500. The Rockies kept him for a 6 year, unheard of. They get to the World Series, then he sinks back, gets fired, comes here as two years where they collapse, and I think what Nutting and Travis Williams are counting on here is 2013 all over again. Okay. But they better be on a Charrington and Shelty need to be on blazing hot seats going into next season.
And I think for Charrington, this has to be his biggest offseason yet, because he has gotten the pass for the first couple. These guys came in during the COVID era too, which kind of threw a wrench into things. But this is the point where he messed up last season. People can get all over the owner. They can jump all over Nutting and his wallet and what he won't spend, whatever. He pretty much blew whatever money Nutting allotted him last season.
Yeah.
I mean, he spent it on guys who were bottom of the barrel, like dollar bin type players. Their biggest signing was Aroldis Chapman 1 year for what, $10.5 million?
Yeah.
Who was fine. Like, there were parts of the season where we saw the electric Aroldis Chapman, and then we got the whole Aroldis Chapman experience in the other parts of the season.
Yes.
But otherwise, it was basically a handful of scrubs is what he got. He tried to say, I'm going to get quantity over quality here. You have to change that philosophy. If he goes in with, say, I don't know, $30 million is allotted to him this offseason, I would rather the guy sign one or two players that are actually good. Actual impactful players that you can put in the lineup. I don't even want them to waste money on starting pitching either. They're going to go for some crafty lefty.
No. They're set there. Sometimes it's not the size of the allowance, it's what you spend the money on.
Exactly. And they have to get actual impactful players. I don't care if they get one or two guys. I just want them to be good.
And here's the topic, though. Here's the bottom line. Your thoughts as a Pirate fan on Terry Francona going to manage the Reds. 412-928-9370. We also get back to Steeler Cowboy talk. After all, his name is Donnie Football, not Donnie Baseball. Right, Donnie?
That is correct.
Not that you can't talk baseball. I don't mean that at all. You're very good on baseball.
I love talking baseball, too.
But they don't call you Donnie Football for nothing. So we're going to do some over-unders on this Steeler Cowboy game. For example, Mike Tomlin, over under 0.5 timeouts he'll leave in that hip pocket. Let's talk about that. Najee, Justin Fields, what's the best path toward victory for the Steelers in what is a very big game? As we mentioned off the top, it feels like this is are the Steelers real or not? You know, we have Halloween coming up. Are they just wearing a costume for those first 3 weeks, or is that really who they are? Or is it more the team we saw against the Colts? I think this is a chance to announce themselves to the NFL like, no, that was an aberration. We're going to be a team to be reckoned with. Justin Fields, a big night for him. All eyes on Justin Fields and whether or not he really is this great fit for the Steelers that a lot of people believe.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've run into a Willy Wonka-like issue here. There is so little time and so much to do. Or is it the other way around? I can't remember. I don't remember a show like this. I feel like there's 8 million things that we have to talk about. Are we getting there, Donnie? Are we getting there?
I think so. I mean, there were even other things that we were texting about last night, Joe, that I thought we could touch on by the time we hit 2 o'clock, but I don't know if we'll get there. I mean, the Pitt Panthers are trying to start 5-0.
We're doing our prediction segment, the last segment of the show. We'll hit on Pitt then and a bunch of other college and pro games. Donnie, we're running out of time, and I'm panicking. We have calls on the line about Francona. We have to do Steeler over-unders. We have a Steeler-Cowboy quiz show, and we have what I completely forgot, because he didn't remind me, was Bechtold's Breakdown.
Because it's every Friday at this time.
I know. I just need a quick reminder. And it's one of my favorite segments. It's Football Center, which is perfect for you because you're Donnie Football. So why don't we do this, Limits? Why don't we get to a couple of calls on Francona, which was a real kick in the groin, him going to a division rival. Then we'll get to Bechtold's Breakdown. Is that reasonable?
That's reasonable. Let's start with Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, so
I think what this Francona thing really says to us, the fans, and everybody who engages with the Pirates is they would much rather be right than better.
Mm.
You can't look at what happened this year with how bad they were defensively and how bad they were fundamentally and not think that a guy with World Series experience like Terry Francona would not make you a better baseball team. How do you not consider that option? Because they would rather win with the guys that they picked and be right or not win at all.
Let me ask you and Donnie and Limits this question. Might it have been Ben Cherington's relationship with Francona as a factor here, or would it be, you know, or do you think they were bringing Shelton back no matter what? Could that be an issue is what I'm saying. Francona, because Cherington fired him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that that is one little piece of this pie here that we didn't consider when we were talking about it last segment. Like, they do have a past relationship, Cherington and Francona do,
yeah.
And it's not necessarily a great one.
But then again,
so,
if you blow out both of them, then the Cherington relationship is not an
correct,
issue. Because he's not here either then.
Correct. And you also think back, they could have, I think the two finalists for GM, who's the guy in Milwaukee?
Matt Arnold.
It was between him
yes.
and Cherington.
Yes.
And, well,
they
we lost that one.
Yeah. They got Skeens and Cruz right in the draft. I don't think they got Cherington and Arnold right. One more call on Pittsburgh guy, Terry Francona, going to the Reds.
Here's Terry and Moon who wants to talk about Terry.
This could be Terry Francona.
It possibly might be.
Hello, Terry.
Yeah, it's actually Jerry, but I'll answer to anything, so that's okay.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind here, Joe. You get a chance to get a manager who is 13th all-time in victories, won a World Series in Boston, made Cleveland baseball relevant again, and we say, nah, you know what, we're going to pass. We're going to keep the guy who hasn't shown any ability to manage whatsoever and believes that the advancing runners in the scoring position via the bunt has been outlawed by Major League Baseball, to say nothing of his inept handling of pitchers. As a lifelong Pirate fan, a guy who saw Clemente play, it's pathetic what this franchise under Nunning has become. And I don't care about the past relationship with Cherington and Francona, because if I had a choice between Cherington and Francona, I'm taking Francona all day long. He's a proven winner.
That's a great way to
Cherington
phrase it, actually.
Anything.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. It actually wouldn't have been a choice between, just to bring this conversation full circle, between Francona and Shelton. It might have been a choice between, do we blow this whole thing out and bring in Francona? So a choice really between Cherington and Francona. And here's what I would say to that. If we took every Pirate season ticket holder and every fan, let's just say we had 50,000 people as a sample size from Western Pennsylvania, and we sent them a questionnaire with one question on it. Would you rather have Terry Francona, check box A, or Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton, check box B, for next season? I think a 97-98% would have gone with box A.
Joe, I wasn't alive when
box
this
B.
happened.
Box B. Would have rather had Francona, is what I mean, right?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes. I wasn't alive when this happened, but do you remember the 1984 election results?
No.
The presidential election?
Refresh my memory.
Ronald Reagan won every single state besides one. Walter Mondale, the only state he won was Minnesota. He actually got D.C. as well, so not even a state there.
Wally, yeah.
So Reagan had 525 electoral votes to 13. That's what that result poll would look like in favor
right.
of Terry Francona.
Or maybe Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese for Rookie of the Year. Did you see where 66 of 67 voted for Caitlin
yep.
Clark? One person votes for Angel Reese.
Oh. Out of spite.
What?
It's the only thing it has to be out of spite.
It's like the one person who didn't make Derek Jeter unanimous in the Baseball Hall of Fame. What were they watching? How are they still voting? Anyway, we digress, Donnie. Have you ever participated in a Bechtold breakdown?
I have, but mostly just solo.
Yeah, I mean, this is very exciting for everyone. Shall we get to it?
We shall.
Bechtold?
Oh, yeah, there's the music, Don.
So this guy can't play any real music for my beds or rejoins or anything else, but when it comes to the Bechtold breakdown, I get an actual artist performing?
That's because it's in the hotkeys.
Yeah, oh, it has to be specially recorded and inserted.
The hotkeys. The Francona thing makes me miserable, too, by the way. Like, I'm just so distraught about this. I was texting you about this last night. It just makes me so frustrating. He would have been the perfect fit.
The perfect fit. Yes. It's like that GIF, Donnie, where the karate guy takes like multiple machine gun style kicks to the groin. Have you seen that one?
I don't know if I have, but I can picture it.
No, it's the guy standing there and it's the repeated kick to the groin. You've seen that,
okay.
GIF. Have you? We're going to have to show him that one.
Yeah, we'll show him it. Okay. That's a frequently used one.
All right. What do you got?
Oh, Get Up is stirring the pot this morning. So they put out a graphic today. Dare to compare this season? Blind resumes. I'll give you this. This quarterback has a 52.3 total QBR, 69% completion rate, and 5 interceptions on the season. Quarterback B has a 51.7 total QBR, a 71 completion percentage, and 1 interception. What quarterback, Joe, would you rather have?
Justin Fields, because he's one of them. Who's the other one?
I think I know who the other one is.
Dak Donnie, Prescott? Say it at the same time as me. 3,
Patrick Mahomes.
2, 1, Mahomes. Dare to compare the two, Joe?
No, I don't dare to compare the two because it would be the most ridiculous comparison ever made.
We'll wait until January for old Patty Mahomes.
But the analytics people tell you, oh, it looks pretty good right now.
He's playing well. I like Justin Fields, and I would keep him in. I just don't need to encapsulate it like that.
The numbers are the numbers, and the analytics people love their numbers. Donnie?
With Mahomes, the last couple of years, specifically like the last two, I feel like the Chiefs as a whole, like they go through probably the first half or so, maybe even the first two-thirds of the season where they'll win games, they'll take care of business when they have to, and they're still doing that now. They certainly don't look pretty when they do so. Like, they look ugly every single time. You get into January, though, I'm not picking anybody other than 15.
Aaron Rodgers kind of poo-pooed the idea, but Garrett Wilson on Devontae Adams said, if someone can help us win, let's do it. It seems like the Jets are the most active team pursuing Devontae Adams, but how about Pony with a report that the Steelers are the most active team going after
Devontae
Adams?
They're at the goal line.
What's goal line, Joe? Which one?
Maybe the opposite one.
Well, the Steelers can be as active as they want. It's about which team does Devontae Adams want to go to? I mean, it's also about the trade package. I get it. The Steelers, I would say, have about a 3% chance at this. You?
Yeah, I got into this last night a little bit, and I think it's about 85% New York Jets, maybe 10% other. I gave the Steelers 5% just as a round number, but I don't even know if it's that high. I will be pretty surprised if he doesn't end up playing for the Jets.
I'll say
because
this.
That regime, they could be out if things go south. The coach, the GM, they need this to work, and I think Aaron Rodgers certainly has enough control to say, you go get me Devontae Adams,
well,
or else
Aaron
this ain't going to work.
He spoke today. Or yesterday, I don't know which, and basically said, I don't know what I can say because of tampering, but I will say this. We have a great relationship. We spent time together in the off season. It just sounds like that is the deal that would happen. And I realize there's other parts that need to come together. I do. Top of the hour, by the way, along with a Steeler Cowboy quiz show, which is going to be unbelievable. There's a list of receivers out there that the Chiefs could potentially go after, but that also relates to the Steelers. Anybody you mentioned for the Chiefs is somebody that the Steelers might be interested in. And one of these items on here has George Pickens involved going to the Chiefs. And it's from Dr. Michael DeFabo. We have to look into this, Donnie. What the hell is going on here? Next.
Well, I mean, at the same time with Adams, one other point to throw out there, why would the Raiders want to just cave to his demands? They want to get the best trade package, and don't you think they might want to screw Devontae Adams on the way out the door and say, look, we're going to send you somewhere you don't want to go?
That's true. That's a good point, and I think Pony has probably made that point, right? Or something like it.
I mean, I think that is one of the things that's working in the Steelers' favor. Not that it's a terrible place to go. I mean, they are a 3-1 team with the quarterback playing well so far. But I think we know his preferred destination. I think New Orleans is probably up there because of his relationship with Derek Carr. Like, the Steelers are not number one on his list, and I won't believe it until I see it.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Next.
Two quick ones. NFL says that injury rates dropped dramatically on kickoffs in the preseason.
Yeah, of course they did, because none of them were returned.
Exactly. And part of it, they're crediting not getting off to a running start. The average player speed on the dynamic kickoff was about 20% slower than the kickoff in the previous year, and that led to an increased injury rate. There were no ACL or MCL injuries on preseason kickoffs this year because they're not being returned is partly the issue. They made a bad problem worse.
This is one of the most ridiculous rules changes I've ever seen in the NFL. It's completely backfired. I didn't really care about the injury rate in the first place. If go ask somebody, would you rather play football in the NFL and be on a kick team and risk injury or not have a job in football? I think they'd all sign up for it. But in the meantime, none of the kicks are being returned. It's a joke.
You said it was what, 20% down the injuries?
Yes.
See, that tells me they'll keep it. As stupid as it looks, they'll be able to circle that and say, see, we care about player safety. We're going to make these guys play 18 games.
What was their main priority here? To keep the game safer or to increase excitement and bring kick returns back into the game?
I think they did. They were hoping that the excitement factor would be there because you saw it with leagues like what the XFL, I think, is where they stole this idea, which is another good thing about some of those springtime leagues. They have little ideas like that that the NFL would just take.
Yeah.
But I think they'll also be able to circle the
wagons.
Yeah. Circle the wagons on the injuries and say, see, we care about these guys.
Exactly.
We care about their
right.
safety.
Yeah, let's play another game, shall we? Let's get up to 20. They're full of crap.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.